I want you to know that I had two PowerPoints done from all the stuff today. So the reality is I'm like going to touch a little bit. We're going to get into much more next week, way more next week. So this week's portion in the Hebrew, Vayera, Alal, Alav, Yahweh, Belonene, Mamre, Vahu, Yoshev, Petech, which would be translated, Yahweh appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre. Now, you're looking up there going, Matthew 26. Rabbi, that's not in the Torah portion this week. I know. And I promise you that we'll actually get to the Torah portion. But what I want to do today is start off with a very important passage in regard to the Gospels. And then take it back to its roots so we can come back to it to understand it. Okay? So that's my goal. So if you've got your scriptures, you can open to Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 through 37. And it starts this way. Then Yeshua came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee. He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Verse 38 and 39. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Now, to watch with me, I don't have the scripture. You can go look it up. In Exodus, one of the commands in regard to Pesach is you must stay up. There's one night you must stay vigil. Now, some people didn't know that there's a command to that, but it says, you shall keep vigil as I kept vigil. So this is an actual command that they're keeping in regard to going out, to keeping watch. And he starts off with this idea, my Father, and hold on to that. Of course, he prayed to his Father, and that's how he prayed, but that's an important concept. Let this cup pass. And of course, he's saying, your will. Meaning that Yahweh gets to make the decision. Yeshua does not. Yahweh gets to make this decision. Verse 40 and 41. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Can you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch, pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, he didn't get specifically an answer yet. So he goes back. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. If it's got to happen, then your will be done. Verse 43 and 44, and he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed a third time. Notice he didn't even wake them up this time, saying the same words. So he goes back to pray the same words. Verse 45, then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, meaning it's now, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. So he's saying, I've prayed to the Father, and now it's time for the Son to be given away. Hold on to that thought. Now, some key concepts in that passage. One is there's this Father-Son relationship that's going on, and that's not by accident. That's specifically purposeful, and it's supposed to give you clues to go back to find where this is coming from. You also see, what's this cup? What's the cup about? We don't see it that often, this idea of, oh, let this cup pass from me. So what is the cup? Prayers. He prays three times. Is it a faith issue? Is there a set idea that if I do it three times, What's the issue with doing it three times? Why go back to continue to pray? Is it just because he's anxious and he's looking to be in Yahweh's presence, knowing that that's where he's going to find peace? And we don't specifically see the heavens open up and Yahweh go, here's your answer. But we see that he knows enough that it was time to get up, and he knew it was time for him to drink of the cup. There was no question in his mind. So is Yeshua changing his mind? And I say that only because, listen to what Yeshua says. Matthew 16, 15 and 16. Again, please go there with me, if or at least get that down for yourself. It says this. He said to them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the anointed, the Son of the living God. From that, 16:21 says, listen to this, from that time Yeshua began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised in the third day. So Yeshua, prior to all this, let this cup pass, has been teaching them consistently, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, there's going to be some problems, and they're going to kill me. Now, in case you weren't sure, because we always want two witnesses to the reality of Scripture. Well, let me continue in Matthew 22 before I get to the next one. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it for you, Master, that it should not happen to you. So again, he's like, it shouldn't happen to you. It shouldn't happen. And this is a seed of doubt that's supposed to be planted in Yeshua's mind. Notice that when the enemy comes, when he first comes out of the mikveh, he's like, hey, just bow to me, and I'll give you all these things. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to go through all the pain and tribulation. This is the enemy using Peter to get to him. It doesn't have to happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. This is the same guy he said, I'm going to build my congregation on. The same one that Yahweh revealed that he was the Son of the living God. You are offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Notice his point is, they're mindful of the things of men. You're just concerned that I'm here or not here. You're not thinking about the bigger plan that God has. Now, this is the other verse, Matthew 20, 18 and 19. It starts this way. Behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, that's the nations, to mock and scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again. And this is speaking. This is him talking. So twice he said, oh, by the way, I'm going to Jerusalem, and this is what's going to happen. At least twice, because before it said he started to teach. So if he started to teach, I don't think it was a one-time teaching. I think he was continuing to teach on this idea. So did he change his mind? And again, please don't think, oh, Rabbi thinks he changed his mind. I'm not saying that. I'm trying to give you a question to let it stir in your mind. So the father-son relationship, where does that go to? What are they trying to point us back to? And of course, that goes to our Torah portion. Genesis 22, verse 1. Now, what I want you to see in here is how often this concept and word of father and son comes up. It is muy importante. It is very important. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. And said to him, Abraham, now I'm going to put that into the meaning of it, said to him, father of many nations, and he said, here I am. So he came to test the father of the nations. Remember, Yeshua was supposed to be given over to the nations. And he continues in verse 2, he said, take now your son, your only begotten son Isaac. Does that phrase start to ring a bell in your mind? Your only begotten son. It should sound familiar. And you know what? This is where it was first written. The first only begotten son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. By the way, the temple, there were two burnt offerings that had to be done every day. They were both lambs. Morning and evening. And by the way, this burnt offering, I don't have time to go into a long teaching on it, was an offering that the entire animal had to completely be consumed. There was no part of it that the priest got to keep. There was no part. In fact, the peace offering would be put on top of burnt offering. So there would be no peace offering if there wasn't first a burnt offering. Everything was to be given. On that mountains of which I should tell you. So this is where you're going to do it. Verse 6. So the father of many nations, Abraham, took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on who? So laid all this wood, laid this tree on Isaac to carry. So Isaac is carrying the tree up the mountain. Might sound familiar to you. His son, and he took the fire in his hand, meaning he was going to be in charge of the offering, and a knife, and the two went together. It's an interesting phrase because it's actually twice. I want you to hold on to that phrase, they went together to do this. Verse 22:7, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, you have the fire, I have the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? So has Abraham talked to Isaac, oh, by the way, I'm sacrificing today, are you good with that? No, Isaac doesn't know yet, and he's carrying the wood up the mountain. There are a lot of teachings out there that said Isaac was willing to give his life. And I'm not saying he's not, but at this point, he doesn't know. And if Abraham felt like he could handle it, I think he would have told him before now. Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, Elohim will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them, what? Went together. Isaac, the son, and the father went together up the mountain. Keep holding on that phrase. Verse 11, but the angel of Yahweh called to him from heaven and said, father of many nations, father of many nations. So he said, here I am. Do not lay your hand on that lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear Elohim. And that fear means a complete awe, that there's nothing held back. Since you have not withheld your son, your what? Your only begotten son from me. You have not done it. So this father has not withheld his only son. Verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram, offered it up on the burnt offering instead of his son. So this ram, which Yahweh had already set there, was going to be a replacement for the son. Okay? Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place, Yahweh will provide. Notice the actual focus here in tense is that it will happen in the future. Abraham has no question about it. As it is said today in the mount of Yahweh, it, and he's talking about a lamb or a son, shall be provided. Did Yeshua change his mind? I have no doubt Yeshua knew the passage of which he was mirrored to. Yahweh provided a replacement at the last minute. Yeshua was at his last minute. There was a question whether, with the same precedence, that Yahweh was going to send an angel to go, no. I just need to see if you were willing to give your life. The cup, Jeremiah 25:15. This is not the only time it's mentioned, but it's important to understand. For thus says Yahweh Elohim, Israel to me, take this wine cup of fury, another word for that is wrath, from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. Verse 17 of Jeremiah 25. Then I took the cup from Yahweh's hand and made all the nations drink to whom Yahweh had sent me. Also verse 28. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup from your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says Yahweh host, you shall certainly drink. This drink is his wrath and judgment on sin. So why in the world is Yeshua going to be drinking Yahweh's wrath or cup of wrath? Maybe because he has to replace the original son. Who was the original son? Adam. He has to take every part of what would have been condemned in regard to the sin. That sin which caused distance between us and him, a separation. He prays for himself, and he doesn't actually pray for himself. We know he goes and prays three times. I think he was looking for two witnesses. Meaning, I think he was trying to make sure that what Yahweh said wasn't the enemy, because I think right now he was confused, and I think he was a little scared, because he knew what was on the other side of this veil. I think he was looking for an answer, and he wanted to make sure this is what Yahweh wanted. The Father's answer, would you believe we've already read his answer? And when I show this to you, when I saw it, I literally jumped out of my skin. In fact, some of it I didn't even see when I was doing this. I didn't see it till I got here, that the last connection came. Listen to the Father's answer. Have you ever prayed to the Father, and then you saw a friend, and you went to talk to that friend, and you're sitting in the middle of that conversation talking to that friend, and they have a problem, and you're talking to them, and you say something to them, and you sit back and go, you know, that was really for me. I don't know about you, but that's happened to me multiple times. I'm trying to counsel or help someone out, and the words that come out of my mouth are actually words for me. Right? Okay. Well, here's the issue. In Abraham's life, he goes, how will I know I will attain to this righteousness? Right? So Yahweh goes and says, I'm going to put you into a deep what? Oh, interesting, a deep sleep. And then, two things of fire walk together between the animals. Went together. Walked together. Hold on to that. Listen to, because we've already read the answer. Matthew 26:40-41. Then he came to disciples and found them sleeping. Three times he found them sleeping, and I think Yahweh was answering him all three times. They were in a deep sleep, and he said to them, what, could you not keep watch for an hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into what? Unless you enter into temptation. Maybe Yeshua's entering into temptation. Listen to Yeshua's advice to them. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is the words that he literally gives to his disciples. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Be careful, you're entering into temptation. So he goes away, he comes back. What are they now? Still sleeping. And they come back still sleeping. Just like Abraham. So the father took the son and they went together through this next day to be a sign. Abraham said, how will I know that I will attain to this? The covenant that you have made with me. And in his vision, he saw a torch and a fire pot pass between the two animals, basically meaning, see, Abraham should have walked with God because it was a covenant between God and man, but he had him sleep. And it was God who said, I will keep my side of the covenant, but I will also carry your side of the covenant too. I will keep both. When Yeshua's in the mikveh, and he first comes up, does Yahweh say, look, here is my Messiah, the anointed. He says, this is my son. This is my Isaac. in whom I am well pleased. When he's up on the mountain, revealing himself to Peter and the two others, he does not go, here is my Messiah, listen to him. He says what? Here is my son. It is all about this reality. And so when we look at this passage, all of the connections come back to Genesis. A relationship between a father and a son, the son having to carry it. And I can see Yeshua sitting there going, because notice the third time he didn't even wake him. And if he was thinking about this Genesis passage, it's not too far from here where the fire pot and the torch go through. And I think there was a realization. Oh. The Spirit is willing. And even listen to his phrase. Father, this cup can pass, but the Spirit's still saying, your will be done. Your will be done. What an awesome, awesome reality of all of the scriptures that Yahweh is bringing to reality in this one little moment. And quite often we just don't get to see it. But when he opens our eyes, it just, how can you even describe that? Baruch Hashem.